Wonderful. Now I'd like to invite Ben and Sarah Robertson up as they'll be sharing with us their ministry of through Josiah Venture in the Czech Republic. So would you join me in welcoming them?
Good morning. I'm the Sarah of Ben and Sarah. And we've got two of our kiddos with us. The third one, Chloe, she's one, but she's home with grandma, sick. So Phoebe is six and Jaden's four. And we are just here to say thank you. We have been on the field, on the ground in the Czech Republic for 4 years now. And for just over 4 years, you guys have partnered with us in ministry. And so I hope that today, as Ben shares some stories and what God's doing in Central and Eastern Europe, specifically the Czech Republic, not only are we rejoicing, but we want you to partner with us in rejoicing because you have sent us, you've been with us, you've prayed these prayers, and so this fruit is also your fruit. And so we want to say thank you. And before I get started, I just want to pray. God, you're good. Thank you for providing this community of believers to come alongside us, to be behind us, encouraging us, and to praying with us and for us, God. You have done so much in the last 4 years, and you continue to do things. And so, God, today I pray that those in this room can see the fruit that's being produced in the Czech Republic. And also, God, I pray that you stir up hope for what could be in the Czech, but also here in their home. God, you are good. And so we're just grateful. We're grateful that you care so deeply for stories like Bada that Ben's going to talk about today and the stories that are in this room. You are good. Amen.
Good morning. In 2019, during our first year of ministry in Czech, we met a very eager English teacher in a local Czech high school named Jan. He invited us to do an English lesson with his class, and from there, our friendship began. We soon met his daughter, Bara, his son, Honza, and his girlfriend at the time, Simona. We started spending more time together and sharing meals as a family. The following summer, as we were preparing for our English and Music summer camp, which is an evangelistic tool to reach out to non-Christian students, we invited Bara to come with us. Even though she didn't know any of the other young people at this camp, she said yes, and it was nothing short of a miracle. Here she is at her first camp on the left. Following the camp, though, not much happened, or so at least we thought. She was not actively connected to our church or to the relationships from camp or to youth group, and I bet many of you can relate. Maybe there's someone that you've been praying for maybe a few weeks, for maybe a few months, or maybe for a few years. Maybe you're praying for your neighbor who does not yet know Jesus. Or maybe one of your kids has turned away from their Christian faith and you've been praying for them for years. Or maybe there's a coworker that God often lays on your heart. Well, the following summer in 2021, even during a season of COVID in the Czech Republic, when we weren't even sure if we could have camp, we again invited Bara to come. She returned, but she said she was a bit reluctant. She told us, I didn't really want to go. But by the grace of God, she returned. God ignited a hunger and a thirst in her for truth. Following camp, she started coming each week to youth group. She came on Thursday nights to our music ministry at the church, and she started attending the Sunday services. She was hungry to find answers to some of life's deepest questions. She was looking to make sense out of some of the brokenness that she was experiencing. Well, in December of 2021, she sent me an unforgettable message. she decided to put her faith in Jesus. She said that on that specific day, she was at her lowest of lows, and she felt like her world was falling apart. She said she was crying on the couch, but she knew at that moment that Jesus was in the room. Bada encountered Jesus, and her life will never be the same. This morning, Albion, I want to share with you yet another young person who was after God's heart. So I invite you to get out your Bible or get out your phone this morning and open with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. We'll be looking at the first three verses. So 2 Chronicles 34, verses 1, 2, and 3. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and he did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet a boy, he began to seek the God of David his father. In the 12th year, he began to purge Jerusalem of the high places, the Asherim, and the carved and the metal images. So here we have this young Josiah at 8 years old, assuming his reign as king. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was 8 years old, I was not entrusted with the kingdom. I could barely tie my shoes, pour my own cereal, and go one day without fighting with one of my 4 sisters. But here we have King Josiah at 8 years old, assuming the throne. And what's interesting is that the writer makes his point quite clear. This was not any kind of king. In verse 2, it said he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He walked in the ways of David his father. He did not turn to the right or to the left. So not only was King Josiah committed to being king and to overseeing his kingdom, more importantly, he was committed to the Lord. Verse 3 tells us that 8 years into his reign, which, again, if we do the math here, assumed he was at the throne at 8 years, plus 8 years more, he is now 16 years old. So when Josiah was 16, he began to seek the God of David. This young king was not merely acknowledging God, he was seeking God. Young Josiah was cultivating a genuine hunger, thirst, and passion for God. So this morning, Albion, I want to stop and I want to ask you, who are the young Josiahs here in this community? Who are the young people like our friend Bara or like Josiah who are cultivating a hunger and a thirst for God? Well, let's go back to the text. Let's see, what was the result of Josiah's seeking? We see the result is right there in verse 3. It says, in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the Asherim, the carved and the metal images. So in the story of the Israelite people in the Old Testament, they began to pick up many of these foreign practices that other nations utilized, especially idol worship. So here in verse 3, what the writer makes clear is that the kingdom of Jerusalem and Judah were saturated with idols. They were full of Asherim and carved images and metal images. The people of God had become idol worshipers. And I want to ask you, what kinds of idols do we see even today in our time and in our culture? What about the gods of Instagram or Facebook or TikTok or Twitter? I work with young people, and this is a common scene. I walk into a room, and everyone's heads are down, almost as if they were praying to something. Idols saturated that time period, and they still do today. Idol worship isn't simply just a cultural practice. It's a sinful condition of our hearts. But the question here is, how did King Josiah respond to all of these idols? At the young age of 20, out of the overflow of his pursuit of God, he went after these idols. The word used in verse 3 is kind of graphic, purge. Your bodies ever purged themselves before? As a parent of three kids, I'm actually a professional purge catcher. But in all seriousness, purging is difficult, and you need that in order to restore health. And so my first point for us this morning from the text is that King Josiah was a committed leader. His belief in God led to a transformed way of how he ruled the kingdom. Another crucial detail from our friend Bada from her story is that she is a first-generation Christian. She was not raised in a Christian environment. The Czech culture is not really Christianized. Her home is not Christian. She does not have relatives who are Christian. She actually does not really recall hearing much about Jesus. She had this idea, this vague idea that there was a God. But in Czech, actually at Christmas, our tradition is Ježíšek. Baby Jesus comes and brings gifts to all of the kids. Not Santa, baby Jesus. And so many people in Czech, their main introduction or their main knowledge of Jesus is baby Jesus, the one that comes and brings gifts for Christmas. Well, about a year ago, one night after youth group, Bada asked me an important question. She said, "What exactly is baptism?" We looked at some passages in the Bible, and she told me, "I really want to do that, but I'm not quite sure what my parents will think. They already think I'm a little bit crazy for doing this whole Jesus thing." Well, last August, in the backyard pool of one of our elders' homes, we experienced one of the most joyful baptisms that we've ever witnessed. Bada could not stop smiling. She could not stop dancing. It was simply joy uncontained. So let's go back to this text in 2 Chronicles, and I want to share with you our second point for the morning. Look down at verse 19 with me. It says, "And when the king heard the words of the law, he tore his clothes. The king commanded Hilkiah, Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, Abdon, the son of Micah, Shaphan, the secretary, and Isaiah, the king's servant, saying, 'Go, inquire of the Lord for me and for those who are left in Israel and Judah concerning the words of the book that have been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do according to all that is written in this book.'" So now here we have quite an interesting storyline. Is some of Josiah's leaders are helping to rebuild the temple to continue aiding in this restoration. They come across the words of the law. Although it's not entirely confirmed, many scholars believe that they came across the book of Deuteronomy. And what's especially important is that when Josiah heard the word of the law, he tore his clothes. During that time, the tearing of clothes, it symbolized complete and utter distress. For Josiah to tear his clothes meant he was disturbed. He was distressed over what he heard. At the end of verse 21, King Josiah admits, "Great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord." So here we see King Josiah, this committed leader, now uncovering a committed cause to center his kingdom around. King Josiah acknowledged the Lord's wrath and that it's something to be revered. And he also acknowledged that the previous leaders had not followed the Lord. King Josiah's grandfather, King Manasseh, was considered one of the cruelest leaders in history, in biblical history. According to the Bible Dictionary, it says his reign was a time of religious retrogression caused by terror of Assyria, fascination for her cults. This resulted in a syncretism of Baalism, cult of Astarte as at the high places, astral worship. With spiritism and divination, his long reign was bloody and reactionary. Can you imagine the implications of this on God's people? King Josiah had to have known about the destruction and the divisiveness that his grandfather had caused. This was definitely, if any of you have seen the Disney movie Encanto, this was definitely one of the we don't talk about Bruno moments in their family history. There had to have been unjust wreckage and carnage that resulted from King Manasseh's destructive ways. Although he could have continued down the path of his forefathers, he chose a different path. He was a committed leader with a passionate cause to restore the kingdom of God. Our friend Vara, like King Josiah, she wants her country to know and follow Jesus. The Czech Republic is considered one of the most atheistic countries in the world. 1% of the population is considered evangelical Christian. And this is not simply a statistic for us. This is what lights up our hearts and gets us out of bed each morning. And this is real life for us. In our city, Ústí nad Labem, we have 100,000 people in our city. And in our city, we have 2 evangelical churches with no more than 120 people between the 2 churches. But what a lot of people don't know, even Czech people don't know this, is that one of the greatest missionary movements of the world actually started in this region of Czech and Germany. In the 1400s, the Moravian Church was established, and for 300 years, they experienced great persecution. Then, in the 1700s, Count Zinzendorf started a village for refugees from the struggling church in Herrnhut, Germany. The people from this church started praying for 24 hours a day. This went on for 100 years. 30 more villages were established. Many missionaries were sent all over the world. Last May, I had the honor to visit Herrnhut, Germany with my Czech team, a group of us Czech leaders. We went and we visited this place. Here was actually a couple photos that I took last May. And I was struck by simply the prayers of ordinary people, how that can change generations for the kingdom. There was this spiritual fire, right, and this renewal that started in this place that multiplied out to the rest of the world. And many of you have heard, even in Czech, I heard many reports, some of my Christian Czech friends, Ben, have you heard about what's happening in Kentucky? Have you heard about Asbury? I saw something on TikTok. I'm like, yeah, Sarah's from Kentucky. Let's talk about it. Right? So we know God is doing something here in America, in the Czech Republic, and around the world. I believe there's so much more to come. Well, let's go back to the word and get our third and final point for us this morning. Pick up with me again in verse 29. The king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. The king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the Levites, all the people, both great and small. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant that had been found in the house of the Lord. The king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all of his heart and all of his soul to perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book. Then he made all who were present in Jerusalem join in it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And Josiah took away all the abominations from all the territory that belonged to the people of Israel and made all who were present in Israel serve the Lord their God all his days. They did not turn away from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. In this final section, we see this committed leader, King Josiah, with a committed cause to restore his kingdom, backed now by a committed community in this collective change effort. One of the most interesting parts of this section is the emphasis on all. Did you see that? The authors say all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem, all the men of Judah, all the people, both great and small, all of his heart, all of his soul, all who were present, all the abominations, all his days. One of the most profound emphases from this passage is the fact that all were involved in this effort. This movement of God required a committed community. And again, what was the outcome? It says, all his days, they did not turn away from following the Lord. Our friend Bara, she is now part of our leadership team for our youth group. She's now on our servant team for camp. She's learning to follow, she's learning to lead, and she's learning to join in Jesus' mission to reach her friends, her classmates, and her family. Every Thursday night, one of my favorite parts of our job in Czech is that our church, we actually lead a teenage pop choir for young people to come. They can learn to sing. They can learn to play instruments. But more importantly, they can come be part of a community. Here's a picture of a choir rehearsal back in January. Bara started attending this group 2 years back, and she's now also part of this leadership team. Last fall, she shared her testimony with the group, and there wasn't a dry eye in the room. She is now learning to devote her life to Christ and to his cause. And what's amazing is she's not the only one. 6 out of the 7 leaders in this ministry are first-generation Christians. Many of them became Christians just a few years ago. You can see in the back row, Sarah's there up in the back row in the middle. This picture we took last Sunday before we left for Czech. The girls were all like, let's get a picture. I'm like, okay. So I took a picture of the ladies. And you can see I put just those little white arrows at the back row. All 6 of those ladies are first generation Christ followers. They do not have other Christians in their family. And so we can see this morning that God uses committed leaders with a committed cause for his kingdom, fueled by committed churches and communities. And this creates massive change around the world. So Albion, this morning I have to ask you again, who are the young Josiahs, the young Baras that are here in your community? I believe there are many young people who can forever change the landscape of the gospel. As a church, do you celebrate, exhort, invest, disciple, encourage, and mentor the young children and students in this community? Do you believe that there might just be some young Josiahs here right in our midst who could change this nation for Christ? Do you believe that there could very well be some non-Christian students just waiting for an invitation who are ready to receive the good news of Jesus? Jesus reminded his disciples that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. We get to pray. We get to mobilize. We get to encourage. We get to equip as a team. Albin, let me pray for us this morning. And again, thank you for having us. Father, thank you for reminding us of your word this morning. Thank you for showing us the story of Josiah, how he chose to turn away from the generations before him and to literally turn to you. He chose to take action, not to just merely tolerate the idols, but to destroy them, to turn the kingdom back to you. So, Father, thank you for that example. Thank you for the encouragement that you bring forward through your word. Father, we pray for the young people here. Lord, the ones that you have already called, they're in a relationship with you, they're following you, they're eager to learn, they're open. God, may we equip them. May we come alongside. May we also learn from them, from their newness of faith, the enthusiasm they have for their faith. God, let us learn from them as well. And Father, we pray for those in this area, maybe in Buffalo, Cokato, in this part of Minnesota that don't yet know you. They've maybe rarely heard of you. Maybe no one in their family is yet a Christian. God, open our eyes to see them. To invite them into community and into relationship. Ultimately, relationship with you. And Father, lastly, we pray for our friends in the Czech Republic. God, we pray for the young people like Bara and Vircha and Eliska and David and Yohi. God, equip them as Christ followers, many whom are first generation Christians. Empower them, Father. May we see a great and mighty work in the Czech Republic in the years to come. God, use these circumstances like COVID, use this war in Ukraine to bring many more people back to you. We trust you that you are the God of the harvest. Thank you for inviting us into your work. We love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Up here for 1 minute and pray for you and Sarah if you're able to come up. We just thank you for being here with us and for sharing and opening up the word and for you and your family and what you guys do in your ministry. So we would just love to pray for you. And would you pray with me as we pray for the Robertsons and their ministry? Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Ben and Sarah and their family and their little one that wasn't able to be with us this morning, that you would just heal her and just keep them well, Lord. And God, we thank you that they are able to be with us this morning to share the word, to encourage us through it, and to encourage us through the stories that they shared. God, we thank you for your gospel and the radical transformation that it has on lives. And just the encouragement and the fire, as Ben said, that stirs up in us, seeing how you change and work in hearts and lives, Lord, and what that does for the community and for the world. God, I just pray that you would continue to bless their ministry and that you would grow it into the great harvest, as we saw this morning from your word, that you would continue to help them build a great community for the believers there, for those that our first-generation Christians, that they would see what it means to be part of a believing community and a church, Lord, as we need that so much. God, I pray that through the words that were shared this morning and the stories, that you would put a fire down in our hearts, that we would continue to pray for the Robertsons in their ministry and to live and act in the word that we heard, Lord. We thank you for the Robertsons and their ministry, and we pray that you would bless them and continue to bless their ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank you.